are listening to Ratchet and the Geek, the intersection of social media, pop culture, and technology, brought to you by Lovey from AwesomelyLovey.com. She's a humor writer, a social media strategist, and the co-founder of the Red Pump Project. And me, Scott Hanselman from Hanselman.com. I'm a software engineer, web guy, former computer science professor, and a guy with too many gadgets. And together, we will bring you everything that we know and think about TV, movies, games, gadgets, stories of fail, the dumbest tweets you've ever heard, product recommendations, and lots more. Here on Ratchet and the Geek. Ratchet and the Geek, third time's the charm. It's show three. Hi, Lovey.
Word. What up, Scott?
I'm very, very well. Nothing is happening over here except we are on Stitcher because the people demanded it.
Because we are now fancy.
I didn't even know what Stitcher was. People asked for it, and we started to make the moves. We made a bunch of calls. We're in Stitcher. We're on about a dozen, maybe 15 different podcasting sites right now. So you can get us anywhere you want to get us. We're on iTunes. We're on Zune. We're on Xbox Music. And we're on Stitcher. So yay us.
We are like the MasterCard of podcasting. Everywhere you want to be.
I think that's Visa.
Is that Visa? No, that's totally MasterCard, dude.
We'll find out in the comments in a minute.
Right. People will be like, that's Discover. And then we'll both be salty.
It's Diner's Card. Actually, speaking of places that we are everywhere, we got a call from the Audible folks, and you can go now to audibletrial.com/ratchet. And if you sign up for an audible.com, these are audio books, an audible.com account, then Ratchet and the Geek gets a little money, and we will use that money to pay for bandwidth. So check it out.
Yes.
audibletrial.com/ratchet. I signed up just because I wanted to see /ratchet in another URL.
Right? I think that URL is awesome.
Yeah, I'm pretty happy with that URL. So check that out, audibletrial.com/ratchet. Speaking of being everywhere, I was on your Facebook, and, you know, I was scrolling around. I was just Facebook stalking you, and I had just finished watching Saturday Night Live and then went to Facebook, and then I see Anne Hathaway in Facebook. Would you like to explain what's going on there?
Yes, I will. So... I won the Women's Media Center Social Media Award for 2012. Whoop, whoop. And it's because people voted for me to win, and I was nominated with a bunch of awesome women like Janet Mock, Issa Rae, and like 17 other people, and I never thought I'd win.
Wow.
Somehow I won.
That's crazy. Were they there? Was Issa and Janet there?
No. Issa was in Puerto Rico being fancy, wow. And Janet wasn't there. But three of my fellow nominees were. Mm. So it was last week. They flew me into New York. I got like the star treatment. And the host of the award show was Anne Hathaway.
Wow. Woo. Wow.
She is too cute for words. Too cute.
And she's tiny. She's lost weight because she's in Les Mis. And I guess she lost like 20 or 30 pounds to be in Les Miserables.
This is how tiny Anne Hathaway is. Me and her are probably the same size.
Wow. You are tiny.
Hey. Okay. I'm tiny for my size.
You're okay. Tiny for my size. You are half me, physically.
The fact that I can't debate that is really terrible.
No, it's not up for debate. Which makes me huge.
No, this just makes me really minuscule. I'm like a mini human. Yeah, she and I are the same size in terms of width, but she's like 3 inches taller than me. She's so cute. And she called me adorable. So I will be going to my grave knowing that Anne Hathaway called me adorable.
Catwoman says you are adorable. That's pretty, you should actually make that, maybe your relationship status in Facebook.
Right? I'm like, can I put that on my resume?
You should totally
put that on LinkedIn, like next to like my headline. It would be like called adorable by Anne Hathaway.
I think that actually should go above LinkedIn. That's actually more interesting to me than LinkedIn when it comes to your social media resume.
I like LinkedIn.
I'm always hating on LinkedIn.
You be hating on LinkedIn. See, LinkedIn gets a bad rap.
Well, you wait. When I need a job, the first place I'm going to go is LinkedIn.
You would never need a job, Scott.
Oh,
you are.
Sweet. You're so adorable. Most,
yeah, you won't. Scott is the most hustling person I know.
Oh, I do try to hustle. I try to hustle. I'm over here just Rick Rossing it right now, though.
Okay, by the way, have you seen the picture of Rick Ross shirtless? And the caption says, that feeling when you take your bra off at the end of the day. When I tell you I cackled.
Yes. I think all the white people need to pause the show and go and Google for Rick Ross And the man has a pair of moobs that are really quite exceptional.
You know what? We have to post this somewhere. So maybe in show notes, we'll put the link of where you can find Rick Ross's man boobs.
Right. And I think this will be the point when people decide that Ratchet and the Geek has jumped the shark.
The They're like, you know what? They went one episode too far. It's
Ooh, speaking of Rick Ross, I was actually at Ross this evening.
Oh, my God.
You like that segue? That was pretty exciting. I felt pretty good about that. I was at Ross. And have you heard the music video, I Got It at Ross?
I have.
Yes. It is in my head, and I cannot get it out of my head. So all day long, I got it at Ross. So if we're going to put Rick Ross in the show notes, we're putting that in there as well.
Oh, my God. Our show notes are going to be like 10 lines long. But okay, you guys will click the link.
Nothing wrong with that. But more importantly, Kerry Washington. Scandal last
week. Yes. Okay. Last week's episode of Scandal. It wasn't the typical, like, okay, typically, like, they leave crazy things to happen in the last 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. This one, it felt like the whole episode was just crazy.
Yeah, absolutely. The whole episode is like scene after scene of amazing ending scene that would blow the episode away.
I mean, the last maybe minute of when they showed next week's episode, since they're not showing it this week since it's Thanksgiving,
right?
I understand. That might be crazy, but this episode was awesome because of the scene in the conference room with the six spies. I'm not going to give it away to people who haven't watched it, but just know, like, watching the spies together was awesome.
Yeah, the writers have really reached a, like, their tempo, and it's just, it's perfect. It's just everything is rocking. The people are enjoying themselves. You can tell the actors are having a good time. They're looking at each other, and you can see what they're thinking. It's really, really hit its stride in the last couple, two, three episodes.
What I'm loving is how Columbus Short's character, Harrison, is getting more screen time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's partly because I have a crush on him.
Mm.
But even outside of that, I think his character was underused last season.
Mm-hmm.
So this episode, we actually got to see Harrison a lot.
That's cool. You know who I don't like is Edison. I think he's like a missing he's like a missing Cosby
you don't?
Child. No, I
really?
Don't. He's like a Huxtable.
I like Senator Edison. Maybe it's because he knows how to check Olivia Pope. Like the way he's the one the president can handle her too, but like that last scene, I'm starting to like Senator Edison Davis.
I don't know. I feel he's a little too wholesome, but I have to say that the one thing that really spoke to me in this episode, it also got picked up on the Twitter account Scandal Moments, was when he was talking to Liv and he said, I've watched you press your hair. This isn't our second date. This is our 1,000th date. And I don't know how many people picked up on that, like the significance of that moment. And a lot of people, there's some controversy there because one, you've got to be really, really close to a black woman to be involved in the hair pressing, you know.
This is fact. This is actually fact.
And I love it. So the question is, like, really, really, what woman in her right mind would let you get that close? I mean, there's a beautification process that occurs with a black woman that doesn't matter if you've been married 30 years, you may never see her hair.
You know what? But, you know, the fact that he actually could say he saw her press her hair, yes, now he should know it's really real.
Yeah.
And Olivia couldn't even say nothing to it.
This
As
is true.
A black
this
woman, I have not allowed anybody I've dated to see me. You know what? No, I'm probably lying. No. Well, then again, I have locks, so I don't press my hair. But
still, the point is, though, like, you know, you don't run your fingers through her hair. That's just not, it doesn't happen.
Yeah, you can. Us natural ladies,
well, maybe,
we don't mind.
You know,
too
the
much.
Natural hair, sure, but like, you're not going to want to have someone with pressed hair and then start running your hands around the kitchen.
This is fact. So yeah, I did love that. That was my favorite line of this episode of Scandal.
Yeah, exactly. I thought it was very nice, and I wonder how many people picked up on it, but I thought it was well written.
It was. So what is your gadget of the week? What have you been doing this week?
It's been like gadget season for me. I've been getting a little something pretty much every other week, and it's all like, this is my Starbucks money, right? I don't go to get coffee. I just save that $5 you would spend on a latte, and then I buy a gadget. So the gadget that I've got this week is called Twine, and it is from a company called Super Mechanical. And I actually backed these guys on Kickstarter. And what these guys do is, you know how you can automate your virtual life? Like you could make a script that would say something like, if I save a photo to Instagram, post it on Facebook, or if I favorite a tweet, email it to my friend, right? You could make these automations. Mm-hmm. We all have the Twitter feed is another example of an automation. But a lot of these automations don't occur in the physical world. So what Twine is it's a little box that looks like a deck of cards. And it knows about the heat and the humidity and if it's being shook and its orientation, if it's up on its side or not. It doesn't make any judgments. It just has these characteristics and it can go and post information to web pages. So if you flip the Twine over, you flip this little box over, it'll post something to a web page. Or if it gets over 80 degrees, it'll post something to a web page or it'll text you. So you could automate things in the physical world. Now, what this means is that I'm always leaving the garage door open. Mm-hmm. So the idea I got from a friend of mine named Steve Marks was I taped this Twine, this little deck of cards with a Wi-Fi attached. It has Wi-Fi and it runs on two AA batteries. I taped it to the garage door. And as the garage door opens, the Twine changes its orientation. It flips on its back, right? Because the garage door opened. Right. If it stays open for 10 minutes, it will send me a text that says, you left the garage door open.
Nice.
See, and you could do anything. You could say if it stops vibrating after 10 minutes, then the dryer is finished because it's sitting on the dryer. You could leave it at your your grandmother's room, and if the temperature drops too low, have it text you. So you can automate the physical world. And I think that this is really exciting for geeks that like to, you know, plug Lego pieces together. This is another really exciting Wi-Fi enabled Lego piece.
Oh, this is dope. Okay, so Twine, like, who makes it?
So it's made by a company called Super Mechanical. So supermechanical.com. And this is just the first piece of their system. And it's going to include, they're going to basically enable it with new things. Right now it does orientation and temperature. It's going to do vibration. It could do humidity, you know, air humidity. Like you could leave it by your water heater and say, if it gets wet, text me that the basement is flooding.
This is awesome. So how much is it?
Well, that's the thing. It's $100. So I think it's about $70 too expensive. I think I'd like to be able to, but it's a beginning.
Shade,
right?
Scott, yes. Shade.
Well, I'm just saying, I feel like this is the kind of thing where if it were 1995 and it was like on the end cap at Home Depot or at Radio Shack, I would buy one and throw it in the cart. But $100, it's a pretty expensive gadget. But what's significant is the idea behind what right. someone could do with a Lego piece that is web-enabled. And what I like about this is that, you know, we as techies and maybe some of the people who are listening who aren't techies do understand, like, you know, a little bit about HTTP and a GET and a POST and getting an SMS or getting an email. And we can string these pieces together. So you could, like, let's say you had your family had a house at the beach, but no one's ever there. You could set a Twine up that said, if the temperature gets below freezing, text me. So then I can run and, you know, fix the pipes that are going to freeze or whatever. You could go and buy a gadget that was specific for that problem, or you could build something with something like a Twine, a generic thing, and change it. And it's all done in a web interface. It's a really, really cool idea. And I think that we'll see more and more gadgets like this.
Which means the price point will drop, which is the point I will then be like, all right, great, I will
exactly,
buy it.
Exactly, exactly. I think that this is just the beginning. It's a startup. And so in the paying of the $100, I think I was kind of like investing $80 in their business and then getting $20 worth of equipment.
Makes sense.
You have a new equipment actually right now, don't you?
I do. So I have new microphone and it is fancy. It is studio quality. So right now there's a mic sitting in front of me that looks like I'm about to like be on a talk show, like a radio talk show, like for real, for real. Mm-hmm. Not just a podcast.
Right, right. You're like at the morning zoo.
Right. Right. I'm like, this is really like, it's a mic stand. I had to like screw stuff in and plug stuff in.
It's probably picking up everything. Are you touching anything? Are you tapping on stuff? Or is it, do you like have eggshells on the wall? You ever hear people getting like pieces of foam and covering their walls to soundproof their area?
I'm literally actually sitting here trying not to touch anything just because I'm afraid what it's going to pick up. So I'm like, I'm over here like with my hands in the air, like, don't click nothing. Oh, no. Right. Yeah. So,
well, we're trying to do this podcast on the cheap. And that's why we mentioned that Audible trial at the beginning. So far, we've just been using little $20 USB headphones and using a program called CallBurner at callburner.com to record Skype. And then after the first two episodes did so well with over 10,000 downloads.
We got 10,000. You didn't even tell me. What? We got 10,000?
Oh, you didn't know about that? Oh, by the
way. Oh, snap. I am totally raising the roof.
So after we did all right, you know, we did all right with the last two episodes with a little investment. So here's the question, you know, what kind of money does one need to put into a podcast? We're not musicians. We don't soundproof our rooms, but we want it to have a little bit more quality. I think NPR is the goal, maybe the morning zoo. So what we ended up getting for you was basically a $60 microphone and a little thing called an M-Audio, which is a little MP3 recorder. And what you're going to do is you're recording a WAV file and I'm recording a WAV file, and then we'll mash them together. And if we do it right, it should sound like we're in the same room.
Word.
So we'll see. And I think the total investment so far into this podcast has been about $100, which is actually about the same amount I put into my garage door, which is a problem. I need someone to intervene.
You're a gadget freak.
It's a story of fail.
Yes. Okay. I have been so amused at the coverage that's been happening around Rihanna's 7/7 tour.
Okay, what is that? And what is that for the people?
What it is she's going on a 7-day, 7-city, 7-concert tour. And her organizers had the bright idea of bringing along 150 fans and journalists on a chartered flight.
Wow. Like an actual Boeing 777.
Yes.
Wow.
With 150 people to take around.
How many of them are regular people, and how many of them are journalists?
I think most of them were journalists, and the regular people won competitions or contests, mm-hmm. like for radio or whatever. So in theory, this sounds like a good time. Like a ratchet good time. Until day one, Rihanna comes on the plane, mm-hmm. and is pouring champagne and making it rain bubbles.
Okay.
And they're like, yay, good times. And then they go to her concert. Of course, she's late because that's what she does.
Right. Probably lip syncing.
Of course, lip syncing and dancing terribly. But they're like, okay, cool. They hadn't seen Rihanna since then. And then on top of that, the luxe hotels they're supposed to be put up in didn't really happen much. A lot of times they slept in airports. And then, like, even just regular stuff, general stuff like food. One of the days for dinner, they had bananas and donuts.
Oh, man. As a diabetic, I'm just trying to imagine myself on this trip, trying to make it right.
You would need to be, like, taken out on a stretcher. Because
that would be like Con Air.
All they've been doing is, like, debauchery to the point where the plane was, like, descending into madness for the past 2 days. And one of the journalists is an Australian dude, decided to streak on the plane.
No.
Mind you, these people they've barely slept.
Right.
They've barely bathed. They've been, like, going on a diet of sugar and alcohol, and they're all stuck on this plane together. Can you just imagine the madness?
This is like Lord of the Flies.
That's exactly what I called it, because I blogged about it. I'm like, this is going to turn to Lord of the Flies.
Great minds. I got to read this post of yours. That's beautiful.
Thankfully, the tour is over. They landed today. Uh-huh. 10 minutes before they landed, they finally see Rihanna again, and she's like, hey, guys. And they're all like, blank stare. We're not amused.
Where has she been?
Partying with other celebrities. And that's about it.
I'm over her. I'm sorry. I'm done.
You know what? I honestly am too.
Really? I mean, the only thing she and I have in common anymore are giant foreheads.
Okay, what did you guys have in common before?
Pretty much giant foreheads. Back in the, pawn the forehead.
Pawn the forehead, yes. Yeah. The people on that plane, they even came up with a flyer that says missing Rihanna Fenty. And then it says on it, weight 90 pounds or so.
Yeah.
And then for hair color, they put blue, black, blonde, purple. You get the point.
Yeah, they're passing out missing flyers.
Hilarious. So that was a complete utter fail.
Oh man, what a PR nightmare. All that's going to do is it's going to turn her into like Lindsay Lohan. You know, it's like this is the beginning of the end. Like literally the 777 plane is Rihanna jumping the shark.
But you know what though? it's kind of Rihanna. So for her, it's not a PR fail as much as this is me being a bad girl. So, yeah. But I'm over her. I am.
All right. We're done. We'll never talk about her again.
We're lying. We're until she does something ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, it's something else that if anything dumb happens on the internet, we are there to bring you the news.
All the time, which is why dumbesttweets.com continues to bring the foolishness. This week's dumbest tweet, some girl says, is Whoopi Goldberg gay?
Whoopi Goldberg.
Yes, not Whoopi Goldberg, Whoopi Goldberg. I was like, who is Whoopi Goldberg? And yeah. Where has she been? People don't even try to act like they want to even be correct on stuff.
People don't know how to spell. I mean, I tell you, it's getting to the point now where if I see, you know, your or your, Y-O-U-R or Y-O-U apostrophe R-E, if it's spelled wrong, I flip the bozo bit in my mind. Like a switch turns on and I'll never gain respect for you again. Isn't that awful? It's so judgmental.
It is, but it happens. It's a big problem online. Whenever I see like those memes, because there's a bunch of them, and there's something misspelled on it, I refuse to partake and share it or reblog it or any of that. I'm like, I don't support this because you spelled this wrong.
And the thing is it's people who are famous, too. Like, I don't know why I expect everyone who's famous to at least have a GED, but there's all these people who I've admired and I've seen on TV and movies that I respect, people with Tony Awards and people with Emmys, multiple daytime Emmys, and they're writing tweets like they're texting 12-year-olds, and I lose respect for them.
You would think their publicist would pull them aside and be like, listen, we need to take you into some classes, I need to introduce you to the thesaurus in case you ever need to really know how to spell something. Or you see the red squiggly line under the words?
Yeah.
That means wrong spelling. Pay
the
attention.
The red squiggly line does not mean you're awesome. Actually, it's a shame because Whoopi Goldberg is the worst offender. If you like, Whoopi Goldberg has an EGOT. Right? You know what an EGOT is, right?
Emmy, Grammy, Oscar, Tony. She complete.
Right. There are few people on the planet who can claim that they have an EGOT. I don't think Whoopi Goldberg spells one word in 10 correctly on her Twitter account.
You know, I don't follow her Twitter. Let's keep it that way because it'll make me keep my respect for her. Thank you.
Exactly. Well, we're not going to follow Whoopi Goldberg anymore. How do I block her? Can I check if she's blocked me maybe?
You can. And the way you'll know is if you go to her page and it says you can't view her statuses, or you can try to follow her and they'll tell you the user has blocked you.
Mm.
I, of course, will know this because I'm an expert in getting blocked by celebrities.
This is true. You've been blocked by more celebrities than anyone I know.
You know, I don't know why. I plead the fifth.
I have only been blocked by Tyrese and actor Brian White, but otherwise I'm doing all right. I'm pretty nice online. But what if I want to find other people and block them? What if I want to find spammers and like, you know, tidy up my followers?
Okay, so you know when you get random spam tweets, oftentimes it's because these spam bots are triggered by words or they're following you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, spam bots following you will increase your number of followers, which might make you feel better about your online life, but it's empty. It's an empty following. You do not want it. So what I always tell people is to go to twitblock.org. That's twitblock.org. And it'll scan your account and get back to you results of who's following you, who it thinks is spam. What it uses to figure it out is it finds out if the avatar the person uses is a duplicate.
Mm-hmm.
It lets you know how many people have already blocked this account. And then it'll also let you know just what type of behavior around it makes it spammy. So it'll give you a list of like your top 30 or 40 spam-like followers. And then you just block down the way. It's just really easy. And it saves you a lot of time because then you get less spam tweets, which is really annoying.
Interesting. Okay. Well, it's right now. I'm scanning my people right now. It looks like it's a free service and they have a privacy policy right there on the page. And anytime someone is using a Twitter app, this is really important. You need to understand that you're giving it permission. You're not giving it your password, but you're giving it permission to access your account. And a lot of times we forget that we've done this. So you can go into Twitter, log in, go to settings, and then click on apps and see a list of all of the different apps that you've given access over the over the months, and they really add up, don't they?
They do. And actually, that's a good, you actually reminded me of something. If you have an app that you've allowed to have to access your Twitter account, sometimes they will access your DMs because
your
you are basically
messages.
Yes, we're speaking of acronym. Yes, they can access your direct messages. The way I found this out was 2 years ago, there was this like ad platform where you can use Twitter to like make money by posting up tweets that were technically ads. Based on how many people click it, you get paid. Well, somebody signed up for it and would, you know, DM their friends to click the link, which, mm-hmm. you know, is actually a smart marketing tool.
Yeah, most virus writers are smart. That's the problem with viruses.
Well, the company hit them back and was like, hey, this is actually not legal. Like, you telling people to click the link is not legal. And she figured out that they actually read her DMs. So keep in mind, what you do in DMs can come to light.
This is true. Actually, we have a number of congressmen who have discovered that anything on Twitter is public. Even your direct messages can somehow find their way out into the real world.
Word.
Exactly. It's hard to be technical on the internet right now. Things are not user-friendly.
Like what?
Well, I just think that knowing that you can authorize someone to use your account without giving them your password is something that people aren't used to. You say to yourself, right. Someone hacked my account. How did they do it? Well, inevitably on Twitter, you gave them the access at some point. Because we click authorize and sign in so many times a day that we don't actually read that this
fact.
Application has the ability to access your direct messages.
That is fact. Yeah.
And then how do we get rid of it, right? I've seen people change their Twitter names or change their Facebook names to try to get away from these apps. You need to do the same thing on Facebook. Go into Facebook, click on privacy, then click on apps, and then revoke the rights of other apps. I've found a number of Facebook applications posting to my Facebook without asking me.
Yep. Actually, Facebook applications are notorious for that. They're mm-hmm. notorious for that. Facebook will tell all your business.
Yeah. And I've noticed recently that Facebook has been showing me likes of other people's likes. So they'll like something and then it'll post to their account and it'll say, Lovey and six friends like Basketball Wives or
that
whatever.
Is,
and it's like, that's a little personal.
That's a little bit weird. Well, people, it's good for people to know that, because here's the thing. I operate all my accounts as if they were all ultra public. Nothing I ever post online now is something I wouldn't want everybody to potentially see.
Exactly.
I figured that would keep me safe, because any picture, does not matter if it's a picture or video, if it's going online, it's fair game. Anybody can see it. That's how I operate.
That's the way to do it. There are lots of different things on Facebook to keep privacy and groups and say, well, only post this to my mm-hmm. cousins and only send it to the cousins, except subtract this one cousin because I don't really like her. They will eventually find it. So assume that everything is public and you really will get in less trouble.
Word.
Did you get, so let's switch to technical stuff. Did you get any, one of these Windows phones?
I actually got a Windows phone sent to me by Clout. In December. It was a Samsung Focus. But I haven't used it since like January.
Mm-hmm. I got I have an iPhone, but I work for Microsoft and they gave us all Windows phones. So I went over to AT&T and I got a Lumia 920. It's actually a nice phone. I don't want to switch because I'm invested in the iPhone. Like I've got No, I'm invested. Like, you know what I mean? When I say invested in the phone, I mean I own Angry Birds, like all of them, right? Invested in the phone means I don't want to like play Angry Birds again on another phone. I mean,
that's the important piece here.
This is the truly important piece. Like, I mean, it's a beautiful phone. I'm impressed with it. What was cool about it is that it was only $100, and I, as a Microsoft employee, I'm going to get reimbursed. But I guess that's $49 at Walmart. So I'm pretty impressed. The first Windows phones, like the Focus that you got, they were okay, but they were a little small and they were a little thin. But I like the Lumia 920 because it's kind of like Samsung. It's the Galaxy Note, that big one that everyone's talking about?
Uh-huh, the one that's even bigger than the Galaxy S3, yeah.
Phones are getting big.
They are.
This is a big phone, but I like it though because it fits in my back pocket. So basically I'm dual-barreled right now. I'm carrying two phones. Because I'm trying it out to see what I think about it. But the Windows phone is cool because it's got kind of Xbox integration. And I can play, so I can play Xbox games and games that are like Xbox Live. And if I get an achievement, then I go on my Xbox and the achievement is there. So I thought that was kind of cool. And I talked to the guy at AT&T, and that was the thing. He didn't really care about the phone. He just wanted the Xbox achievements.
Nice. It's like Foursquare badges. We love gold stickers, essentially.
I am such a Foursquare whore. It's just bad.
You too? I love the badge. I just got the Players Club badge the other day. I was so pleased with myself.
How did you get the Players Club badge?
I checked in somewhere after midnight. Because me and my friends went to Attract in the Class of Sing-Along. That's a whole other story. It was awesome. Yes.
I got Crunk and Disorderly was the badge that I'm most proud of.
And wait, you got the Crunk and Disorderly badge? How you do that?
Apparently, it means checking into a gay bar. I didn't know. I was with some friends, and we were in South by Southwest, and and it was like three bars of three kinds or something like that. You know what I mean? It wasn't just straight bars. It was just the fact that they were very diverse bars, and they were all within a few minutes of each other. So we
got
were,
it.
And the tragic part about the whole thing is that, you know this about me, I don't drink.
Right.
So I was like the most sober person within 100 miles of South by Southwest. So I was just mostly collecting badges on Foursquare.
That's what I'm going for in 2013. Shoot.
Oh, actually, you know, you've been doing a lot of travel lately because you were in was it Equatorial Guinea?
Yep.
Did you check in over there and get the points?
Yes, I checked in at the Hilton there. I checked in at the airport.
Ooh, swag.
Yeah, I got my, I'm a level 5 jet setter on Foursquare. I'm trying to get to the level 10. Like, yeah.
Fancy. I actually was the mayor of a 5,000-year-old church in Bulgaria for a while.
Oh my God.
I used to joke that I kicked Jesus out of that church, except the church is actually, it was actually older than Jesus, the church was.
Oh my God.
Yeah. It was really bad though, because the guy was giving tours and he was telling us about all the historical things. And then like a bunch of us were checking in on Foursquare. So I think I may have missed some of the historical context of why it was cool.
Because you were too busy trying to get your badge game on.
Yeah, I was getting my badge game on. It was pretty bad. So I don't know. That may be a story of fail right there.
You know what? It's all right. It's part of what we're, we're a generation, everything, generation social media and badges and approval.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, woo. So the reason we had this show today is because Thursday is Thanksgiving. So we thought to record it 2 days in advance so we wouldn't miss a week. See, we are dedicated like that.
We are dedicated like that. We would be even more dedicated if we actually had stayed awake after eating turkey and recorded anyway.
Yeah, that would have been terrible.
Yeah, we're dedicated and organized, so.
Yeah, it would have been me falling asleep in the middle of a sentence. So, but yes, thank you for listening to us the third time. See, we're doing something.
Please continue to leave the comments. I personally would rather have lots of great comments than a lot of silent listeners. So definitely check out. We've got Discuss integrated on the site at ratchetandthegeek.com. Always a lot of fun there. Tweet, Google+, Facebook us. And also,
okay, not Google+. Thank you. That's just Scott that's on Google+.
Is it just me on Google+? I put a Google+ button on the website. Was that too much?
No, it's fine. The two people who are on Google+ will appreciate it.
All right. Well, there's definitely more than two people using the Audible stuff. So check out audibletrial.com/ratchet to support the show, and send us suggestions as you already have about what you want us to talk about on shows 4 through 1,000.
Word. Okay. Yes. So hit us up on Twitter if you feel like it. Lovey and Shanselman. And go on ratchetandthegeek.com. So until next time, we are out here.